BCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at bcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on Crosstalk today. Call a friend, have them listen with you. We've got a lot of important things to talk about on the broadcast today. The response to the coronavirus, taking unprecedented steps like we've not seen in our lifetime. Businesses have been ordered closed. Church doors have been shut. Store shelves have been emptied by panicked shoppers. Quarantine in place orders have been issued in various locations. All entertainment and sporting events coming to a screeching halt. In some areas, people are calling 911 to report their neighbors who are coughing loudly or having an overly loud sneeze. They're actually reporting them to the police. Some areas are discouraging any use of cash due to contamination. And at the same time, we have an Iranian official that's calling for a deliberate spread of the coronavirus worldwide in order to usher in the Muslim Messiah. As of this date, March 19th, there have been nearly 10,000 deaths worldwide due to the coronavirus, with today Italy surpassing China in the number of deaths. Meanwhile, while this is happening, we see a 5.7 magnitude earthquake shaking Utah yesterday, knocking the horn out of the Angel Moroni on top of the Mormon Temple. And just a couple weeks ago, billions of locusts stripped hundreds of square miles of African croplands. And now it's reported a second wave is about to descend that has the potential to damage the food and economic security of a tenth of the world's population. Could this be a dress rehearsal for what will happen at the time of the rapture and future tribulation? Is this a sign of things to come? What's happening in the world today? Well, joining us for discussion on these issues, we welcome back Dr. Gary Fraser, a respected speaker and writer on the subject of Bible prophecy. He's the founder and president of Discovery Missions. He's the author of several books, including Miracle of Israel, Hell is for Real, and It Could Happen Tomorrow. Dr. Fraser, thanks for joining us.
Hey, Jim, it's always a joy to be with you.
You heard my opening where I have given a look at things in extreme brevity, describing what's taking place so very fast around this world. Could you, Dr. Fraser, through the eyes of looking at Bible prophecy, give us some understanding of what we're seeing take place today?
Well, Jim, first of all, let me climb out from underneath the table where I crawled under after, as I listened to you talk a moment ago. No, in all honesty, you know, we always have things that happen in our world, in our culture, and when we do, the alarmists always begin to, you know, start thinking about the fact that this surely must be the end. Now, I want to, you know, comment to say the end is coming, and Jesus is coming. There's no question about that. The issue at hand is, you know, where do we turn? Where do we look to find any possible answers and then to be able to put them in the proper perspective and to understand, you know, what's happening around us on a day-by-day basis? And already you know that the answer to what I just posed is, of course, that the Bible, the Word of God, is the only reliable source
yes.
for what the future holds. Now, granted, God doesn't give us every minute detail. He doesn't tell us exactly a play-by-play, but he outlines the big picture in Scripture. And I listen to a lot of different people say a lot of different things, and there are a lot of people right now who are proclaiming that we have entered into the tribulation period, that the Antichrist is surely on the verge of coming on the scene. Therefore, we need to be buying up water and food and, you know, oh, and by the way, toilet tissue and paper towels. And, you know, as I look at these things, I'm thinking, what, you know, obviously these people have not looked at the Scripture very carefully because God has a plan for the ages, and there are several key events that must take place prior to this time of the definite article. Great tribulation as opposed to tribulation. You know, Jesus said, in this world you will have tribulation, lowercase t, okay?
Right.
But the Word of God also teaches there will be a great tribulation. So the question that, you know, that I want to ask and perhaps we'll be able to answer in the next few minutes is, you know, what does the Scripture say? And then ultimately we're going to close up today with this session, I hope, by just giving some counsel and trying to share a little bit of wisdom about what our response as born-again followers of Jesus Christ should be in this time.
Mm-hmm. So let's look at it. What does the Scripture say? What does it lay out for us?
Well, there is a systematic, big-picture plan laid out in the Word of God, and tragically, most people and many believers as well really have not taken the time to carefully study Scripture to find out what God has to say, because one of the things that we've done in recent years is we pretty much abandoned the Old Testament, and what studying and reading we do and sermons we hear in most churches around the country today focus primarily just on the New Testament.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to go back to the time of the Babylonian captivity when the children of Israel were taken to Babylon, and during that time, after they had knowing that Daniel was able to discern, they were going to be there for 70 years, and in the 68th year of that captivity, Daniel was given a panoramic vision of the remaining days in the history of the world, and it had to do all with the Jewish people and the city of Jerusalem. But contained within that prophecy is the most important piece of prophecy that I think that we have today, because if we don't understand what Daniel was told, there's no way to get our heart and our mind, our brain around what God is doing right now. So with your permission, I would just like to read a couple of verses of Scripture. You know, we talk about Scripture somewhat in a generic term, but listen to what God said. In Daniel 9, verse 25, Daniel is told, "No one understand this. From the issuing of the decree to restore and to rebuild Jerusalem until the anointed one, the ruler, comes, there will be seven sevens and 62 sevens. It," and it's referring to the city of Jerusalem, "will be rebuilt with streets and entrenchment in times of trouble, and after the 62 sevens, the anointed one will be cut off and will have nothing." Now, I got to tell you, Jim, I understand that most people will read something like this and they'll say, they immediately respond and say, "You know, I don't understand that."
Right, right.
And yet, if you really study it, you can see exactly what is happening. God just says there's going to come a certain decree that will be granted, and that decree will be specific. It will be a decree not to rebuild the temple in Jerusalem, but rather to restore and to rebuild the city of Jerusalem itself. And from the time that that decree is given, there will be two things specifically that will happen. There will be a time frame of seven sevens, and this is a Hebrew euphemism. It's the Hebrew word shabuim. And basically what it means is seven times seven, or there will be a period of 490 days, weeks, months, years. But through our own study and looking back at history, we can now discern that this is a time period of 49 years. In that 49 years, the city of Jerusalem would be rebuilt. Now, if we go back and read Nehemiah chapters 2 through 6, Nehemiah is on a project to rebuild the city, and this is exactly what happens. The second part of that is that following that 49 years, there will be another 62 times 7, or another 434 years, and then the Messiah, the Anointed One, will come, and he will be cut off. So if we take 49 and 434, we get 483 years. If we take the Jewish calendar, which is lunar, and we take the 360 days in a year, 12 months or 30 days in a year, and we multiply that by 483 years, we'll get a number of 173,880 days from the issuing of some decree. Now, several decrees were issued in ancient times, but we're able to backtrack now and find that the only decree issued to restore the city of Jerusalem and rebuild its walls and so forth was issued by Artaxerxes II on March 14th in the year 445 B.C. Now, what's interesting is that Daniel is told that 49 years after that decree is issued, the city of Jerusalem will be rebuilt. But another 434 years later, the anointed one, the Messiah, will come. Now, I got to tell you that, and I know we're laying some groundwork here, so I hope our listeners will stay with us for a few moments, because we've got to lay the groundwork to be able to understand this.
Mm-hmm.
But I will tell you, we call the wise men at Christmas, we always talk about the wise men. Well, why were they called the wise men? Because they were students of Scripture, and they had the writings of Daniel, and they were able to look and to understand that the coming of the Messiah was near. And so they were not just wandering around one day looking at the sky hoping to see something unusual. they actually knew they were living in the time of the coming Messiah, and they were looking for God to give them a sign. And God gave them a unique sign because the star that they saw was unlike anything else the world had ever seen. But they saw it, and I want to be sure everyone is listening. If you're listening right now, nod your head, you are. They saw it because they were looking for it. These men were wise because they read the scriptures, they studied the word of God, they knew it was the time of the Messiah. You say, well, how could they be so precise? Well, it's very simple. The bottom line was is that if we counted forward 173,880 days, it would take us to the 10th day of the month of Nisan on the Jewish calendar. Our listeners might remember that that's the day that the family would take an innocent lamb, 1 year of age, and bring it into the house to become a family pet, and then on the 14th of the month of Nisan, it would be slaughtered. We know it as the Passover, instituted by God through Moses when the children of Israel were preparing to come from Egypt as he was going to deliver them and take them to the promised land. So the bottom line is, the wise men knew that in order to be a rabbi, to do service in the temple, that a man had to be at least 30 and not yet 50. They drew the conclusion that Jesus was going to be the teacher, definite article. And so they simply took the date that they had arrived at on the 10th of Nisan, and the year happened to be on our calendar, April 6, AD 32. They backed out the 30 to 50 year period. They had a time period there then of 20 years. And for that 20 years, they were looking, and sure enough, God gave them a sign. Now, the Bible says a Messiah would come, and he would be cut off, or he would die. But that's not the end of it, because then Daniel is told that the people of the ruler who will come will destroy the city and the sanctuary. Well, who was it that destroyed the city of Jerusalem and the sanctuary? And it was the Romans in 70 AD. He goes on to tell us that in verse 27, that he, this person who will come, this person who will be the abomination of desolation, not only spoken of by Daniel, but by Jesus himself in Matthew 24, would confirm a covenant or a peace treaty with the Jewish people for 1-7. But in the middle of that 7, he'd put an end to sacrifice and offering. He would cause desolation or place abominations, which was his image, on a wing of the temple until the end that is decreed is poured out upon him. Now, this is a basic prophecy that, if understood properly, helps us to understand that there are several things that must happen before the tribulation begins. And the key thing is not only, because this prophecy, by the way, in total deals with the Jewish people and the city of Jerusalem, the land of Israel. That said, that's the key to understanding this. So, number one, the first thing that has to happen before these things can, this final part of the peace treaty can be fulfilled, will be, first of all, there has to be a return of the Jews to the land. Okay, so for 1878 years, there was no such place on the map as Israel. But in the providence of God and the promise keeping of God, he brought the Jews back, and on May 14, 1948, Israel becomes a nation again. Now, they've been in the land since then. What has happened? Well, they've been through conflict after conflict after conflict, and yet God has promised that he would preserve and protect them in the land.
This is a good stopping point for us right now, Dr. Frazier. Dr. Gary Frazier with us here today on Crosstalk. We're taking a look at this coronavirus that we're in right now. Is this a sign of things to come? Dr. Frazier laying out the groundwork for us here to give us proper understanding of what we see unfolding and what's to come. Back in a minute. You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, has anyone found water on Mars?
Chris, it's common for evolutionists to claim that Mars used to be covered with water. And they have found some indirect evidences for water, but the polar ice caps, which are the most likely source of the water, they're composed of carbon dioxide. They've also found some geographical features that look like lakes or riverbeds or floodplains. Chris, even if they do find evidence for water on Mars, that's no problem. They're hoping that if they find water, they'll find life. And that'll prove that life is nothing special, that it happens by natural processes. But that's not true. Life is unimaginably complex. It needs a creator. And when we read about him and his creation back in Genesis, he doesn't mention Mars.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Visit our web store at icr.org/store and use the promo code FACT at the checkout when ordering your That's a Fact DVD.
so much happening in such a short period of time right now, and just helping us to keep our eyes focused on what the Word of God has to say on these issues. Dr. Gary Frazier with us today on Crosstalk. And Dr. Frazier, you've laid out some great groundwork here for us to understand what's happened. And certainly as we you talk about that that week yet to come in Daniel that you're referring to, you're talking about some things that have to happen first. First of which you mentioned before the break of Jews returning to their land.
Yeah, and Jim, one of the things that I want to make sure that we try to be clear on today is that, and the reason really you and I are having this conversation is because there are a lot of prophecy teachers, and I don't mind naming names, Doug Batchelor for one, Jim Baker's advertising that everybody buy their, you know, foods and food and so forth and so on and try to store up, you know, all these kinds of things. And then, of course, you've got Irving Baxter with Politics and Religion. There's so many of these guys out here that have media platforms that are telling people that the time of sorrows, the tribulation has begun.
Oh, my.
Now, listen, I'm telling you that we're seeing, and I want people to remember these words, we're seeing the stage setting. God is setting the stage for what will ultimately be the tribulation, but we're simply not there yet.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason for that is that this peace covenant of Daniel 9 must be signed for a period of 7 years that will allow a specific clause is that it will allow the Jewish people to rebuild their temple. That has not been done. Therefore, we cannot be in the tribulation period. And I will tell you, while I know that there are teachers of Scripture that will argue the point, I don't want to argue with anyone. I just can read the Scripture for myself, and I understand that that is the beginning of the tribulation. Now, here's the kicker. That hasn't happened yet, so back up. Now, what is God doing? Well, the world, Israel's back in the land. The world's hating the Jewish people. We have the coming war of Ezekiel 30 and 39 staring at us in the face, as I write about in my book, and it could happen tomorrow. And in fact, you and I were talking earlier about how Iran, which is the very first of these nations that will be involved in a Russian-led Islamic invasion of Israel, again, Ezekiel chapters 38 and 39,
mm-hmm.
and we understand, you know, that their whole position now, today, is not only are they trying to get enough, of course, in ancient times it was Persia in the writing of the Scripture, but now it's modern-day Iran. They're trying to get enriched uranium to develop a nuclear weapon, to wipe Israel off the face of the map, to wipe America off the face of the map.
Right.
And we could go in great detail talking about the Twelvers, because they believe the only way that their, quote-unquote, Mahdi will come back to restore Islam to dominance in the world will be as a result of a worldwide catastrophe. So for now, they're saying, well, let's spread the virus.
Yep,
let's just spread this to the whole world and kill millions of people. They don't care about life. So these things are all things that Jesus talked about in Matthew 24. There would be deception, wars, rumors of war, pestilence, plague, et cetera, ethnic strife, and so forth. And so what's happening here is that incrementally, if we had time today, Jim, we could go back and start from May 14, 1948, and go right down through the line of the incredible events that have happened. And here's what we would see. We would see that as we have moved down these last 70 years, we are seeing these things increase, just like Jesus said, in frequency and in intensity. And that screams to those who are paying attention that we are getting close to the most incredible event that the world has ever seen since the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and that is the coming of Jesus for his bride, the church, in the event we call the great catching away. The Greek word means that, harpazo, but we call it the rapture of the church. So are we on the threshold of that? Listen, I'm here to tell you, I'm listening to the trumpet blast,
yes.
And we know, as you said earlier, it's not going to come from the Mormon temple in Salt Lake City. Now the trumpet's down.
Right, right. Dr. Frazier, as we see this, as you've used those terms, and I've heard them from other such speakers, the stage is being set for Bible prophecy to be fulfilled. We have different things taking place. We are seeing just this increased globalism. I have a statement that came out Monday this week from Antonio Guterres, the Secretary General of the UN, saying that the UN, including the World Health Organization, organization and fully mobilized. No country can do this alone. More than ever, governments have to cooperate, revitalize economies, expand public investment, boost trade, ensure, you know, targeted people that have been impacted greatly by this. He said, as part of our human family, we're working 24/7 with governments, providing international guidance, helping the world take on this threat. We are in this together. We will get through this together.
Well, yes, of course, the UN's jumping in, but, you know, the truth of the matter is we're all aware of the fact that globalization began a number of years ago,
mm-hmm.
and the world is shrinking, and that's biblical, because the
yes.
Bible teaches that there will be a coming one-world government that will have a coming one-world ruler, dictator, that 1 John 2 calls the Antichrist, or the man of perdition, the evil one, and so we know what is coming. The thing that most people don't seem to grasp is they seem to not realize that the process began in 1948. It has been moving forward steadily ever since, and now we're getting so close because for the first time ever, things are aligned in a way that they've never been before. Someone, and I really can't say who it was, but they produced something recently called the Great Convergence, and that's a good term. I think my friend, even Joel Rosenberg, made a comment about that, using that same verbiage. The truth of the matter is these things are all converging. For example, when you mentioned a moment ago, this idea of this particular pandemic with the COVID-19, yeah, money is probably the dirtiest thing anybody handles.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody touches money. So let's end up going to a cashless society. Will that happen overnight? No, but I will tell you, this has been coming for a long, long time.
Yes.
But there will be a catalyst, and whether this virus is it or not, there will be a catalyst that will cause that. Why? Because we know that the coming world dictator, that is the Antichrist, cannot control the nations of the world and people's lives as long as there's cash there. And that's what Revelation 13, verse 16 through 18 is all about. The mark of the beast. A mark or a number upon your right hand or forehead, without it you can't buy or sell. Why would that be necessary?
Let me just interject here, because I'm going to give
yes.
a contemporary thing that's being said right now, because I saw this from a business urging patrons pay with contactless methods like mobile pay, you know, the Apple Pays and other
right.
kind of pays, and then said this, we're encouraging everybody to pay electronically. Nobody wants to touch cash anymore. The less contact, the better. Cash is filthy. And no doubt that's going to be a message coming forth from this, but it's converging at a time in which we're going to see a time in which there is that control through a cashless society.
Exactly. And see, all of this makes sense, doesn't it? I mean, you know, it seems to be logical. Look, if cash is so dirty, well, let's not be handling cash.
Right.
And the second thing is, cash is the avenue. It's the means for the drug industry. It's the means for the cartels. It is the means for terrorists to purchase weapons. Let's get rid of cash for the benefit of all of humanity. And frankly, yeah, it makes sense. But then what are we going to have? Well, we've got a piece of plastic we've got to carry around. Oh, I got a better idea. Let's implant a chip in people's right hand or up on their forehead. Let's use some type of an electromagnetic tattoo, since tattoos are so popular, because it'd be so easy. We're already doing it with things in our automobiles that allow us to go right through the toll lane without stopping and paying. So what's the big deal? You see, all of this stuff sounds reasonable,
right.
sounds plausible. In
mm-hmm.
fact, it's a great idea.
Yeah.
The problem is all of those things will ultimately be used, because everything that's created has a good side to it and an evil side, and ultimately these things will be used against us. And we could go on and on and on to talk about these things, but here's what I really want to say. You know, not only do we know now that the peace treaty hasn't signed, so we know we're not in the tribulation
mm-hmm.
period, and by the way, if we were, we would already have seen the white horse of Revelation, the four horsemen of the apocalypse, the white horse that leads to the black horse, that leads to the red horse, that leads to the pale horse, which is war, famine, death, etc. And we'd also be seeing the fifth seal of the Revelation, which has to do with the martyrs that have been killed for their faith in the tribulation. Those things have not happened yet, but the stage is set
yeah.
for all of this to happen. Could it be that the coronavirus is one more piece of the puzzle? Well, why not? In my lifetime, I'm 70 years old, I have never seen anything like we're seeing now, not even following 9/11. In fact, the people even older than me, They've never seen anything like this since the Japanese were interned in World War II. Yeah. They've never seen this kind of a shutdown, if you please, of almost the whole world. We've never really experienced this before. And because we're a global community, this is affecting all of us. And so the bottom line is this a serious issue? Yes. Am I panic-stricken? No, because my confidence is in Him. Am I washing my hands? Absolutely. You ought to wash your hands anyway. Mm-hmm. But we're washing our hands. We're taking the precautions that we need to take. We're keeping a certain amount of distance from people and so forth. But the truth of the matter is that most of us will not die from this. And that is not to make light of any, the death of any individual
right.
is a serious issue. But the truth of the matter is, it is appointed a man wants to die. Our lives are but a vapor here one moment, gone the next. Nobody knows what they will see tomorrow or not. But we're going to do what we need to do to be proactive in taking care not only of ourselves, but our neighbors and our family members. At the same time, we are not in a panic mode because
yes.
my confidence and trust is in what is in Him, that
Amen.
Is Christ, and the teachings of the Word of God.
Amen. Amen. We're just a couple minutes from the break. I'd like you to cover another point, and something also we're seeing right now is the monitoring of phones. It's coming out of Israel right now.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I had a note on that I wanted to bring that up, because what the Israelis have done is they have developed technology, of course, in order to fight terrorism within their own borders and even around the world. And they've now deployed, as of day before yesterday, this same technology. They're going to go back to the Israeli phone records of all of the 7 million people living in Israel. They're going to track their phones to see where they were, who they were in general proximity to, and then to tie and put the pieces together so that they can then know who may be exposed to this virus. Now, on the surface, you think, wow, that's pretty impressive that they have that kind of technology. Now, as they make that comment, I'm sitting here listening to this government person who is a leader of the one of the agencies, of course, combats terrorism in Israel. And when he finishes his comments, I'm listening to a certain news program where the commentator said, you know, this is a great idea. I don't know why we're not doing this in America.
Wow.
You know what most people in America don't know is that in the days following 9/11, our government passed what we now know today as the Patriot Act. And most Americans do not realize how much power the federal government was giving in the Patriot Act. States picked up on it. They've all passed laws. And the truth of the matter is, nobody wants to hear this, but we're basically in a situation where the government, at any time they deem reasonable in the best interest of protection of Americans, they can take our civil liberties and throw them out the window. Do you know that just a few days ago, in Northern California, there was an entire small community, and I don't know the number of people, but it was a community, a number of people involved. They mandated quarantine in their homes. There were armed policemen in the streets. You do not come out of your house. In Israel today, you don't come out of your house unless you are going to get food or medicine. And that's the only 2 reasons why you can get out of your house right
wow,
now.
Wow. Dr. Gary Frazier with us here today. In our next segment, too, we are going to get into this topic here as to what should be our response in such a time as this. How should believers be responding to all of this? And more to come also in the following segment. This is Crosstalk. Dr. Gary Frazier, our guest. We'll be right back.
Have you ever had someone attempt to talk to you about the Watchtower Society or the Book of Mormon? Or perhaps a friend has told you they've started yoga and invite you to participate. You know you heard something about these religions and teachings, but never had the material in your hand to give a biblical response to their teachings. Well, now you can. 2 world-renowned researchers, Dr. Ron Carlson and Ed Decker, have teamed up to write Fast Facts on False Teachings, an easy-to-use resource guide that gives you quick, clear facts about several cults and false teachings. You'll find chapters on atheism, Freemasonry, Hinduism and yoga, Islam, Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormonism, and much more. Fast Facts on False Teachings is available for a donation of $16 or more by writing VCY America at 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin 53208. To make your donation by phone, call 1-800-729-9829. That's 1-800-729-9829.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Dr. Gary Fraser is with us today. He's a speaker, he's a writer on Bible prophecy, founder and president of Discovery Missions. And though we have done a couple of interviews on it, I do want to make available his book today here in Crosstalk. It's entitled It Could Happen Tomorrow, Future Events That Will Shake the World. And I'd just like to make mention, you can find, listen to the interviews that we've done previous at crosstalkamerica.com, crosstalkamerica.com. But in this, he really gets into, you'll discover emerging technologies, the global efforts toward a new world order, separates facts from fiction about the end of the world and America's place in Bible prophecy, the dramatic prophetic rise of Islamic dominance, leaving Israel imperiled, more issues in that book. But it's available, our way of saying thank you for your support to Crosstalk. One copy we're making available for donation of just $15. That includes it being sent to you. Two copies for donation of $25. It's available at vcyamerica.org, vcyamerica.org, or by calling us at 800-729-9829, 800-729-9829. And again, the book is called It Could Happen Tomorrow. I wish we had time to go through all this. We do not, but you can go back, listen to the interviews, also obtain the books here as well. Dr. Gary Fraser is with us today and talking about, as we see this coronavirus, is this a sign of things to come? He's certainly talking about the increasing frequency of so many matters and increasing intensity as well. I'd like to ask you about one other aspect here before we talk about response of believers, and that is we're seeing also the control of information. For instance, Dr. Fraser, the World Health Organization right now announced that they're partnering with social media giants to flag and take down what they call misinformation regarding the coronavirus pandemic. Just this control of information, that's also something very interesting to observe.
Well, it is. And there's a couple of things that are tied together here. Number one, first of all, controlling information is vital. That's what happens today in countries that are obviously controlled by oppressive dictatorships. It's coming to America all the while, because the problem you have is today such a huge majority of Americans are getting their information other than mainline medias, because we understand that we cannot trust them. They're not reliable. They have a predetermined objective, and so we can't trust what they tell us. So we're getting the majority of our news through various other formats on the social media networks. That said, if you're going to, again, get your message out and you're going to restrict what others are saying, then you're going to have to restrict what's going on, what's being put out on social media. Now, there are many times that I've had an experience, and I don't mind saying it, on Facebook, where I've tried to post something and it kept on kicking me out, because they're determined that if you have a statement that they deem inappropriate or negative, and many of those statements have to do with matters of faith, you just can't get those things out. And especially one of the issues that is the most important to my own heart, and that is the pro-life issue. Hmm. The more you try to post pro-life stuff, the more they want to try to rebuff that. That said, I'm not surprised at all, because with the World Health Organization, they want us to depend upon them, to get our information from them and consider them to be the reliable source, which I do not. On the other hand, think about this. Our president, who I support wholeheartedly, has stepped up, and they're going to try to do all types of stimuluses and various other avenues of helping people who are losing jobs and so forth and so on, try to provide. But I want you to think about something for a moment, and I realize that, you know, there are great, great needs out there. I mean, I'm concerned about the waiter or waitress who lives off of tips to pay their rent, and all of a sudden there aren't any. I'm very concerned about a lot of different people in the workforce industry in various phases that are and will continue to have a very difficult time through this. We may see unemployment rates hit as high as 20-30% if this thing goes on and on and on, as some are projecting. Having said all that, think about the fact that government steps in and the government grants money in various ways. What you're doing is, inadvertently, you are making the government your source. Mm. They are the ones who are virtually meeting your needs and providing for you. That, to me, and in fact, one of the things that has made America so great are the civil liberties that we have, our freedom of religion, our freedom of speech, etc., our right to own and, you know, weapons and so forth for our protection and so forth. But the government, while our president and his administration are trying to do one thing, let me just be honest, there are others behind the scenes that are trying to do a lot of other things. And the bottom line is the things that they're trying to do are trying to strip us of our freedoms and cause us to be dependent upon the federal government. Listen, our confidence and trust, we are grateful for our freedoms and our rights, but our trust and confidence should never be placed in any government, this one or anyone else, mm-hmm. but rather only in the person and work of Jesus Christ,
Amen.
The Creator God, who gave us these rights that came from Him to us.
Yes.
And so when you got to look beyond the surface to see, because, and I'm not a conspiracy theorist guy, not at all, but there are things that I know about human nature. And I will tell you, whoever's handing out the dough, I'm telling
you,
they play a big role in one's life.
Yeah, they pull the strings, too.
That's exactly right.
Dr. Frazier, and folks, if you'd like to get online here, we'll have limited time for phones. Our number, 800-733-9829, 800-733-9829. What should be the response of believers, the response of the church in such a time as this?
Well, first of all, as you know, as our listeners know, church services across America being, forced into an online situation due to certain regulations in the cities, and some of them are doing it, voluntarily, even without having to be made to do it. but I have mixed emotions about that. I understand mm-hmm. the need to protect people, but I also understand the need for the people of God together,
mm-hmm.
and as one voice, commit ourselves to God. Let me be clear about something, and this is a whole another can of worms, but let me just tell you, and I want our listeners to hear me. America is under the judgment of an almighty God. Now, people don't want to hear that. They want to say, well, wait a minute, is this virus a judgment from God? You can make whatever application you want. I'm just saying, America is not one day going to come under the judgment of God. We are under the judgment of God. And how do I know that? Because I will tell you that any nation that kills its alive yet unborn will come under the judgment of God.
Mm.
Any nation who attacks God's created order, and that is the foundation of every society that has ever been, that is one man and one woman in marriage, any nation that perverts that order, flips it upside down, will come to the judgment of God. Today, our whole culture has become so perverse and wicked, it is unbelievable. Many of our leaders, listeners rather, they're younger, and they haven't seen what we have seen in America through these many, many years. America has changed, and we are now on the broad road to our own destruction. And I will tell you, that's just another indicator that Jesus is coming soon. And he's going to take his bride, the church, out. Our response as Christians should be, during this time, recognizing how serious it is, people dying, here's the question it's always been. Are you ready to meet Jesus? Our issue needs to be prayer, number one, boldly, lovingly sharing our faith with any given opportunity, be it social media, be it telephone calls, whatever else it may be. We have to pose the question to people. You know, are you ready to meet God? And when they say, well, I don't believe there is a God, well, my response to that is, okay, but what if you're wrong?
Hmm. Yeah.
Because the truth of the matter is, I believe you are wrong.
Yeah.
And you're going to find out, but then it'll be too late. And, our message today should be one of compassion, caring, love, but we should be pointing them to the one who can not only just, who may not necessarily save their physical life, but will grant them and can grant them eternal life. Look, I don't care what you do. Sooner or later, it's 100% deal. We are going to step into eternity, and we're going to meet God. And his name, by the way, is not Allah. It's Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen. Dr. Gary Frazier with us here today. Our lines are packed here at Crosstalk. Let's begin with Ed in Spencer, Tennessee. Ed, you're on the air.
Yes, hello there. Take us for what it's worth. I heard on the Brian Fisher program on the American Family Radio that there is a cure out for coronavirus. It's called chloroquinine phosphate. And that's what Brian Fisher said on the American Family.
Yeah, I I'm not a medical doctor. I don't know of that. I've heard the president talking about something here today where they believe they're stumbling on something here that's treated malaria in the past, and there's different things out there. But I don't want to go on record, Ed, saying that, yeah, here is a definite cure for this. We do know that there's a definite cure. Thank you for the call, Ed. There is a definite cure, though, Dr. Frazier, for the issue called sin.
Yes, absolutely. It's called the blood of Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Yep. Amen.
Yeah, I'm with you. I don't know. Look, I know that when you unleash American ingenuity, we have the greatest doctors, yeah, greatest medical system in the world. They're working feverishly to find a solution to this. They may, and they may not.
Yeah.
So either way, we don't know those things. There's a lot of stuff being said that can't be documented.
Remarkable reports come out of Israel, too, in this regard. Ty in Wausau, Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Hey, guys. So I heard you guys and other radio show hosts say that this could be like the rapture coming of the Lord and lead to the mark of the beast. But I completely lost all hope in the rapture because of the church is so divided on post-trib or pre-trib. How are you guys sure that, you know, this is he's going to come and take us out of this stuff?
Okay, thank you, Ty. Dr. Frazier.
Well, first of all, Ty, I would just simply say, if I were the devil, you know what I would do? I would try to confuse the followers of Jesus with these various different positions on biblical prophecy. But I want to tell you that I have been a student of biblical prophecy now for over 50 years. Let me back up. Not a student of biblical prophecy, a student of Scripture, mm-hmm, of studying the Word of God. And as I have studied the Word of God, it has become very clear to me that there is a plan that's laid out in Scripture. And 1 Thessalonians 5:9, it simply says, we've not been appointed in the wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. The idea of a rapture prior to the tribulation is not my idea. We don't deserve to miss out on the horrors of the definite article, Great Tribulation. But God has a plan. He calls us that he calls us his bride. We're his body. And the truth of the matter is that the tribulation serves two purposes. One, according to Joel chapter 3, God is going to judge the Gentile nations as to how they have treated his chosen people, the Jews. And secondly, obviously, and it goes without saying, that God is going to pour his judgment out upon a Christ-rejecting, Jew-hating world. And so that's why in the book of Revelation, chapters 2 and 3, the word church or ecclesia is mentioned 15 times as the letters to the churches were written. And once we begin with chapter 4, verse 1, when John is told, come up here, and I must show you the things which will take place soon after, we don't hear the church again. The word church never appears again until the final chapter, the 22nd chapter of the Revelation. I'm satisfied, and we don't have time here to go into great debate about this, but I would just simply say to you this. If you have given up on the idea of the rapture, then you've made a mistake, and here's why. Even for those who talk about a mid-trib or even a pre-wrath or a post-trib rapture, they still believe there's going to be a rapture. It's not a question. There are 8 raptures in Scripture. It's not whether or not it'll be one. It just has to do with the timing of it. Mm-hmm.
Ty, we thank you for the call. Up against a break, Dr. Gary Frazier is our guest here today on Crosstalk, and we'll come back to more of your calls here in just a minute here on the VCY American Network.
For the Worldview Weekend Minute, I'm Brennan House. Is the coronavirus setting the stage for Bible prophecy to be fulfilled? Revelation 13 tells us that the day is coming that no one will be able to buy or sell unless they have the mark. Did you know there's a website called ID2020.org? And they openly talk about biometrics and giving people a mark. And it'll be based on dealing with the immigration crisis. But also, there's a group working with them that says we need to marry vaccines and biometrics. Well, the coronavirus, of course, has got a lot of people afraid on a global scale. What if now you're not allowed to go into a grocery store or a public event or school or play public sports unless you can prove you've had the vaccine? In 2019, this strategy was already underway to marry biometrics on humans with vaccines. Now it's underway aggressively in 2020. The stage is being set for Bible prophecy to be fulfilled.
Well, friends, we got a week's worth of programs here today, but we would like to encourage you to get Dr. Frazier's book, It Could Happen Tomorrow, Future Events That Will Shake the World. And Tim LaHaye said, helps us understand the wonderful plan God has for our future, both now on this earth and in life hereafter. We need to occupy until he does come. And if you'd like to obtain a copy of this book, we have it available through Crosstalk, our way of saying thank you for your support of $15 or more, or two copies for donation of $25, available at vcyamerica.org, vcyamerica.org, or by calling 800-729-9829. Dave in Kenosha, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, Dr. Frazier. Great program. Ephesians 4, I think it's a time for unity. One body, one voice, one accord for the times we're in. And we know there's make-believers and unbelievers, but for the real deal believers out there, we need to be a unified front. And what I'd like you to speak to, Dr. Frazier, is effective ways we can pray. We hear 2 Chronicles 7:14, and everyone out there, you should read 2 Chronicles 7:13, because it talks about pestilence.
Yeah, David, I'm tell you what, I'm going to just give the volleyball over here to Dr. Frazier for interest of time. Effective ways we can be praying in such a time as this, Dr. Frazier.
Well, first of all, I think we need to be reminded that Paul tells us in Ephesians that we're to clothe ourselves in the whole armor of God. We need to begin to understand that there is a price to be paid, and that price takes that. But there's a war that's being waged, and it's waged in the place of prayer. But we have to clothe ourselves in the armor of God. Second to that, in 2 Corinthians 10, we need to also understand what it means to tear down the strongholds that have been built in people's lives. We effectively have power through prayer that we don't utilize. And so, first of all and foremost, we need to be praying about that. 2 Chronicles 7:14 is a prayer granted that was specifically prayed concerning the nation of Israel, their sinfulness against God, and so forth. But each one of us individually need to be sure that we're right with God, that we're clean before God, that we've confessed our sin to Him, and then we can put on the armor of God, and then we can pray according to His will. And His will is discovered in the Word of God. And so that's, prayer is the paramount thing. Now, as far as unity together, I will tell you and remind us all that Jesus warned that characteristic of the last days would be deception. Four times He warns of that in Matthew 24. Today, we have great spiritual perception, and I don't really see any way that the body of Christ can, quote-unquote, have complete unity, because we have become so diluted today that we don't know who the wheat are and who the tares are. That's why it's imperative that we stand solely on the Word of God, with churches renouncing or saying it's okay for people to have abortions, it's okay, which is murder, and it's okay to live a gay homosexual lifestyle. So there's no way that the body can come together with these on these kinds of issues.
Dave, thanks for the call. Next to Tucson, Arizona, Gloria, you're on the air.
Hello. Yes, I'm from Tucson, Arizona, and I'm hearing all this stuff about, you know, that we need to stop depending on the government. We need to stop depending on the government. Jesus Christ is my only source. I'm a born-again Christian for many, many years. Mm-hmm. I'm also totally disabled. Mm-hmm. I am dependent on the government for my housing, my food, and a lot of other things. And my tithe, my offering, comes out of the money that the government gives me. And I have not heard anybody address anything about what we should do with the disabled if we're not going to depend on the government for some things. Now, would you please...
Let me have
Gloria, Dr. Frazier address Gloria, let me just quickly jump in here in the interest of time. I think we all understand that there are people who have needs, and those needs can be met, but here's the difference. You know, you said your trust is in Christ, and it is, and I don't question that for one moment. But do keep in mind that God uses and is using the government. And when you talk about the government, you're not talking about an institution. You're not us. We the people. We are the government. So when you get a check from somebody, it's not coming from the federal government. It is coming from the pooled resources of people all across this country who are paying taxes to make that possible. The government does not provide anything. We the people care about others, and as a result of that, we're helping people out. But God is using that vehicle to touch your life. So we're not anti-people coming together and funneling money into the government to be used for that, but at the same time,
while you're being benefited, you're benefiting and being blessed by that because the Lord is blessing you. God is also, people, the quote-unquote government you're referring to, is also giving untold millions and millions of dollars to assist in the murder of our alive and yet unborn. So there's a balance to be maintained here between government and trust in God. We're not calling about revolution or anything else. We're just simply saying we need to constantly be reminding ourselves that He is our source and supply. He may use many different means of meeting that need, but He has promised to meet our needs.
Great. Thank you, Gloria. And again, we're out of time. We're very close. We're going to squeeze one last call in from Utica, New York. And Albert, you're on the air.
Oh, thank you. My name is Albert Becerra, and I'm a retired missionary.
Go right to your question, if you could, or brief comment.
Oh, okay, the question. Okay, I didn't realize. I thought I was supposed to give a comment.
But,
okay, my question is, what do we need to do to build the church up? Because it's falling away.
Okay, and Dr. Frazier, we've got
so real quickly, there's one thing that builds the church. Jesus, the Bible says, in Isaiah 55:11, my word will not return void, will accomplish the purpose for which it goes forth. We need to be heralders of the word of God. Far too many churches today and far too many men who call themselves preachers, etc., have become basically entertainers instead of teaching the inerrant, infallible word of the living God. This book needs to be preached. It doesn't need to be fought over. It doesn't need to be defended. It just needs to be declared in our day and time. So that's what we need to focus on. And by the way, we're all ministers, those of us who are born again, every single one of us. We should be students of the Word of God and declaring, sharing the Word of God every opportunity that we possibly can get. That's the only thing that will matter.
Thank you for the call. Dr. Frazier, you've got a website, and you've just recently produced videos even addressing some of these issues. Direct us to it, if you would.
Just GaryFrazier.com is my website, and then in addition to that, if they check out me on Facebook or on Twitter or even my YouTube channel, they will find a series I just did, five brief videos talking about are we in the tribulation and why we are not, etc., etc. So that may be helpful to some.
GaryFrazier.com is a website. You can click on media, you'll find a number of things there, or check out his YouTube channel as well. Dr. Frazier, thank you for being with us today and addressing issues that are on our front doorsteps at this very moment.
Jim, always a blessing. We pray for your ministry. Appreciate you. God bless.
Thank you. Dr. Gary Frazier with us today. And if you'd like to obtain his books, check out vcyamerica.org. Thanks for joining us on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.